We're back again, and this is Exposé 247, where we turn the light on Christ. Today, I've just decided to go with the flow wherever this Prodigal Father series takes us today, because I remember last week it was very, very explosive. You know, it took me time to process the truths that were coming out. You know, we moved from Luke 15, we went to James chapter 1, and then we just thought we just want to branch and have a quick look at James 1. Was no, it wasn't. It was an in-depth studying, looking into the mirror, somebody looking and going his own way. That was taking a different meaning, and that was it has a different life of its own. So today, you just be like me, we just sit back, yes, and grab your Bible and see what we are going to learn today, where this verse 31 or 32, whichever one we're doing today, where it's going to take us. Amen. So I'm all prepared to get everything, and I'm not going to miss out anything today. Amen. And I hope you are prepared too. So over to you.
Yeah, viewers all over the world, if you've been with us on this Prodigal Father series, you're welcome again. And if you're joining us for the very first time, we also welcome you as we begin to journey through the Prodigal Father series, a parable that Jesus actually spoke in a way to give us in-depth understanding of who the Father is and how we're meant to relate with the Father and how we can live a victorious Christian life. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been going through, you know, from Luke 15, we've gone all the way right through verse 32. But this particular verse we're going to look at today, which is the response the elder son gave, or one of the responses, because the elder son said so many things to the Father. Now, verse 30. So if you're with us, if you're there, you can either join us or you can open the scriptures to Luke 15, verse 30. Now, this is one of the responses that the elder son gave to the father when he noticed that the father welcomed the younger son, even after the younger son wasted the father's resources. This was one of the things that the elder son told the father. I mean, you could call it one of his complaints. He said in verse 30, he said, "But as soon as this your son was come, which hath devoured is living with harlots or prostitutes, you kill for him a fatted calf." So this elder son revealed to us what was in his heart. Now you see, last episode, if you were with us, or last two episodes, we established the fact that the father told the elder son, instead of you complaining that you've never had a young goat, the father said to him, "You are my son, you're always
with me,
and all things I have is yours."
Yeah.
Now, you see, I thought really that the problem that the elder son had was because he was not even too sure that he was the son of the father, and that's why he was trying to labor. He was in the field when the younger son came back. He was trying to gain the father's favor by laboring and not breaking any of the father's instruction. But you know one thing the elder son said in verse 30, and this is very critical for anyone who is quite keen to walk with the Father and receive things from God. See what he said. He said, when this your son came back. That means the elder son acknowledged the fact that the younger son was a son, or is a son of the Father. And you would have thought, because the elder son understood that the younger son is a son, he would have understood the fact that the younger son deserved, as a son, whatever the father was going to give him, even though he wasted the father's resources. But the elder son said, even when this your son came back, now what's the next statement? And wasted your resources with the harlots, why would you still kill for him a fatted calf? It means to the elder son, it wasn't enough that the younger son was a son. The younger son had to qualify. Beyond the fact that he was a son, he had to qualify by his lifestyle before the father should be able to give him something. Now listen, this is a situation that most of us have at the moment. At the moment, so many Christians believe it's not just enough to be a son of the Father. It's not just enough to be a son of God. You must be worthy. You must qualify before you can have the right to say that the father should give you something. Now, I'll say this again. So the elder, now we understand one of the problems that the elder son had. Because before, I used to think It was because they didn't have enough revelation that he was a son. But he said to the father, I quote, the elder son told the father, he said, this your son came back from wasting your resources. But if he wasted your resources, this your younger son shouldn't qualify to be given a fatted calf. So we are addressing today this mentality, this understanding, or this reasoning that so many people have, that they believe it is not just enough to be a son of God. It's not just enough to be a son of the Father. You should be worthy. You should be qualified before the Father can give you something. Now, we understand the reason why the elder son was actually stuck, why he didn't have a young goat. So the reason, one of the reasons he didn't have a young goat was because he felt within himself that being a son is not enough. He had to be worthy. He had to be qualified before the father could give him anything. And this is the reason he was unable to receive from the father. So let's say this. Are you at the moment in a state in your life, in your Christian work, in your spiritual life, where you don't have the confidence of being able to receive from the father? Where you are not bold enough? Where you're not too sure that whatever you ask the father, you are receiving? This could be one of the things that is getting you stuck. Because so many Christians have come to a point where being a son of God to them is not enough, but they have to be worthy, they have to qualify for them to be able to be given anything by the Father. Now, the reason people have this mentality is because we don't understand the true nature of the Father that we serve. We don't understand God's true nature, and that nature is what we're going to explore today. So now, if you're with us, I want you to look with me to John chapter 3. This is one of the most popular verses in the scripture now, because it's one of the most evangelistic verses. John chapter 3, verse 16. I mean, almost everybody knows that, believers and unbelievers alike. Now, this John chapter 3, verse 16 would help us to understand the true nature of the Father. Listen, two cannot walk together. Amos 3:3. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. How can you walk with the Father if you don't agree with what the Father says about himself and about his nature? Listen, and I think before we go into this John chapter 3 verse 16, I need to say this quickly. I think one of the reasons why so many Christians have this elder son mentality majorly is because we don't understand the mega difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. There's a huge difference between the old and new covenant. The Bible says we are able ministers of the new covenant, not of the oldness of the letter. Which means if you're going to walk with God, you need to understand when the dispensation of the new covenant. And let me say this quickly. The new covenant brings to us the true nature of the Father. The old covenant never gave us God's true nature. It was a diversion tactic. Because, you see, the old covenant was ratified by the blood of bulls and goats as given by Moses. And the Bible tells us that the law was just an interim thing. The law never revealed God's true nature. God related with Israel on the basis of the contract of the old covenant. Now, that contract did not reveal God's true nature. And that's why Jesus did say when he came, he said, I have come to reveal the Father. When Philip asked him, show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Bible tells us that nobody has seen God at any time. But the Son of God, who came from his side, as Jesus, has come to reveal him. Now, Jesus is the ultimate expression of the Father. And I don't want us to be like those disciples who walked with Jesus, who got confused about who the Father really is. You see, there was a time that James and John, the son of Barnabas, they actually wanted to call down fire on a town when they were not allowed to preach in that town. And Jesus Christ told them, you don't know the kind of spirit you are made of. Because they had a picture of the Father that was under the old covenant. But Jesus came to reveal to us who the true Father is. Now, our focus on this expose today is not making a distinction between old and new covenant. But I had to mention that so that we can understand that if you need to know God's true nature, you have to look at the Father through the lens of Jesus. Now look at what John 3 says to us about how God relates with us, the true nature of the Father. Now I'll read from John 3, verse 16. See what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now think about this. Now this is one of the most overquoted scriptures. Think, why did God give his only begotten son? That's the big question. Why did God give Jesus? Because the word was qualified? No. Because the word was sober? No. Because the word repented?
No.
Because the word came to themselves and said, oh, we've actually sinned against God. Oh, we are actually bad, all this. The Bible says the only reason why God gave his begotten son, the only reason God gave his most precious gift. In fact, the Bible calls Jesus the indescribable gift. The most precious gift that a father has is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the reason in John 3:16 why God gave Jesus to the world had nothing to do with what the world did. Had nothing to do with the response of the world. God gave Jesus, his only begotten son, to the world. Why? Because he loved the world. So God gave his only begotten son because of God, if you can say that. God gave because of God. God gave his only son because of himself, because of his nature. Now, this is what we need to understand, that the reason why God gave us Christ was because God loved the world. Now, look at this. That's John 3:16. So that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if you look at the next verse, and it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Now, if you think about it, now it is, the word condemnation is the same word that you can use for not qualified. Now, for example, if you condemn something, it means you're saying this thing is not fit for use. That's what condemnation means. I mean, in our normal everyday usage of the word. So when you condemn something, you are saying this thing is not fit for what I want to use it for. Now, the Bible says that Jesus, now I want you to listen to this. Jesus said, for God did not send his son. If you have your Bible and it's written in, I mean, if you have these Bibles that they write in red, you will see these verses are written in red, which means these are the very words of Jesus himself. Jesus said, God did not send his son into the world to disqualify the world or to condemn the world or to tell the world it's not fit, it's not worthy. Listen, Jesus would never say to anyone that you are not fit. You're not qualified. Now, see, the elder son was relating with the father, and he complained to the father that I'm surprised. That's in Luke 15:30. He was saying, I'm surprised that this younger son doesn't qualify, so why would you give me a fatted calf? But the Bible says to us in this John 3:17, it said, God never sent his son. Now, I want you to receive this word and think about it and meditate on what you're hearing. God never sent his son to condemn the world. Now, it means God is not in the business of disqualifying anyone. The Father cannot disqualify you. And this is the reason. Because the reason the Father gives is because of himself. Now, the Bible says to us that even if we are unfaithful, this is where it gets really, really serious. That's because Timothy, he said, God is always faithful. He said, even if we are if we are faithless. Now, listen to this. If we are faithless, it means if we are not responding the way we should respond. Look at the younger son. If you read the book of Luke 15, it says the younger son went out and wasted his father's resources. He burnt out his father's inheritance. That means he became faithless. But you know what? The father remained faithful. The book of Timothy says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Now, you need to understand on this expose, we are not glorifying people living the way they want to live. Don't get this wrong. We're not saying it is irrelevant what you do. We're not saying it doesn't matter if you waste resources. We're not saying it doesn't matter if you live an unholy life. We're not saying it doesn't matter if you are ungodly. We're not saying it doesn't matter if you are worldly. We're not saying it doesn't matter if you live a life that is not glorifying to God. We're not saying that. But the reason for doing the right thing, the reason for living a life that is pleasing unto God in terms of our character, our attitude, is a different motivation altogether. The motivation can never be that we want to qualify ourselves to be given anything by God. So the Bible says this again in John 3:17, God never sent his son to disqualify the world. God never does that. If you have a mentality within you, if you keep thinking within yourself, do I qualify? I mean, do I qualify for God to give me this, for God to give me that? If you have that kind of thinking, the Bible tells us it cannot be a God thinking. Because why? God never sent his son to condemn the world. And we need to say this pretty quickly, which is very important. Now, it's a good news. God never sent his son to what? To condemn the world. The reason why it's a good news is because no one anyway can qualify to meet the standard of God. This is where the elder son made a very big blunder. The elder son thought in Luke 15 up to verse 31, the elder son was thinking that if he could actually make sure he doesn't break the laws of the father, the elder son was thinking that if he labors in the field, he believed he would qualify, he would be worthy enough for the father to give him a young goat. Think about it. This is the irony of that mentality. The irony of that mentality is, it is that same thinking that stopped him from getting a young goat. I'll say this again. The elder son thought that he could qualify himself. He could live a life so much pleasing to the father that it would make the father give him. It was that very same wrong thinking, that same wrong reasoning that stopped him from being able to receive the father's blessing. It's a wrong thinking. There's a different reason why we have to live right. But it can never be because we want to qualify ourselves. And this is the good news. For those who are dejected, for those who are broken, for those who think they can never meet up to that standard of God, which is so perfect. Now that's why Jesus said, I have come, so that the blind, those who are blind can see. And so who claim they can see can go blind. Mm-hmm. Now the fact is, if you think you are so strong and you think you are so moral, or you think you are so good that you can meet up with God's standard, there are two things I would say to you. Number one, you don't even know what the standards are. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, it said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says Jesus is the Father's glory in the book of Hebrews. Standard. It means, do you think you can meet up to God's standard? And that's why God gave the law. The Bible says the law was given so every mouth can be stopped. If you think you're perfect, you don't know God's standard. But if you think you're broken, if you believe that you cannot do this, welcome to the club. Listen, the reason why you cannot feel condemned is because you can never meet the standard anyway. But there's one person who met the standard. There's one person who met God's demands. The voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. In whom I'm well pleased. God said, I'm happy with this one. He has met my perfect demand. And what happened at Calvary, at redemption, is there was a transfer, it was an exchange. The Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. So it means Jesus took upon our what? Our sin and its consequences by dying on the cross. And we took upon ourselves Jesus' righteousness, and we got the benefit of Christ. Now listen, so if the enemy tells you that you're not worthy, you're not qualified, then you can tell the enemy, anyway, the reason why the Father gave me, the reason why Jesus is given to me as a gift is not because I was worthy. The Bible says in John 3:16, it was because God loved that he gave. No other reason attached. Don't attach any other reason to that scripture. Don't do it. Don't attach it. Don't even allow your own senses. Don't allow your fleshly thinking to attach any other reason to why God gave. God gave because he loved. Full stop. Don't put any but after it. Don't say, well, God gave because he loved the world and because I think I tried as well. Don't say God gave because he loved the world and I think I've made my own effort as well. Don't add anything to that scripture. God gave his son because he loved. Now look at this. Look at John 3:17. We've read that. It said God did not send his son to disqualify the world. So like I was saying, if the enemy comes to you and tells you you don't qualify, say, thank you, enemy. I don't qualify, but Jesus qualified. And I'm going to stand on the qualification of Jesus. I am going to stand on the premise that there was one person that qualified, and I'm getting the benefit of him that qualified. Now, that's the point. There's no point arguing with the enemy. The Bible says, in the place Jesus gave a parable and said, it is better to agree with your adversary before you get to the court.
Yeah.
Jesus said, it is good that you agree with your adversary. If the adversary tells you, you don't qualify. If he tells you, you don't have what it takes. If he tells you, you know what, you shouldn't be a beneficiary of the Father's blessing. Tell him, I agree with you. I don't qualify. And I don't qualify, but there is one that qualified, and that is Jesus Christ. And I'm standing in the robe of his righteousness. Now listen, look at next verse 18. He said, he that believes on him is not what?
Condemned.
But he that believes not is condemned. Now think about it. This is where the whole problem is. Now, you see, I've seen people who are beginning to wonder, how can a loving God How can a God that is so loving, how can he send someone to hell? People say that, and they try to, you know, try to manipulate the scripture and say, God cannot be so loving if he actually loves us so much, because we are talking about the true nature of the Father. And we said it's the God that gives without finding fault. Now, how can such a God then send people to hell? Now, listen, Jesus said something. Jesus said, I did not come to the world to condemn the world. And then the next verse says, he that believes not is condemned already. Now listen, Jesus does not have to condemn anyone. Jesus will not condemn anyone. What Jesus said is, the world is already condemned anyway. Listen, the world is already condemned. Look at the younger son. The reason why the younger son, the prodigal father series, the reason why he was eating with the pigs, the reason why he joined himself with a citizen of that country, the reason why somebody who was so decked in his father's glory at home ended up eating with animals wasn't because the father condemned him. It wasn't because the father disqualified him. It was because without a father, he was disqualified. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but the world is already condemned. So instead of people thinking that God sends anybody to hell, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People send themselves to hell by rejecting the way out that Jesus brought. That's why Jesus said in verse 17, verse 18, I did not come to the world to condemn the world, but he said, he that believes not
is condemned already.
Is already condemned. This is where we have to understand the reality of the Father's nature. So the fact is, the reason why some people are not benefiting of God's goodness, the reason why they're not benefiting of God's faithfulness, is not because God is saying, I'm going to see if you qualify. I'm going to see whether you are worth it before I can give it to you. No. No, that's not it. You cannot walk with God with that kind of wrong thinking. Because, you see, you cannot try enough to be worthy or qualified. If you get to that kind of mentality, the devil is going to fight you. The devil is going to manipulate your thinking. The devil is going to harass you if you fall prey to that kind of thinking. Now, don't fall prey to that kind of reasoning. So it means Jesus is simply saying in this John 3 that I have not come to condemn the world, but the world is already condemned before I showed up. That's what he's trying to say. Before I showed up, the world is condemned already. So now that's what it says. I said, look at verse 19. It says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness. Jesus is simply saying, even we brought light. Think about it. We brought light. I brought light. I brought light, but people still love darkness more than light. That's why when people talk about, now, see, I hope we, if we had enough time on this episode, on this series, we could have gone, maybe we'll probably go there today before we round up. Now, Jesus said, light has come to the world, but men love darkness than light, and they rejected the light. So I'm simply saying, according to the scriptures, the reason why some people have not had access, this is the wrong thinking that the elder son had. The elder son was thinking in his mind that the reason why the younger son shouldn't benefit of the father's goodness is because the younger son actually wasted the father's resources. But that's not the reason people don't enjoy God's goodness. The reason people don't enjoy God's goodness is because they don't receive it. That's why they don't enjoy it. That's why Jesus said to us that, look at how good the Father is. Jesus said that God is so good that he allows the sun and the rain to come upon the righteous and the wicked. Think about it. Have you noticed that when the rain falls down or the sun shines, the sun does not select people it's going to shine upon? And Jesus used that illustration for this generation to understand the true nature of the Father. He says, see, the Father will make his rain and the sun to come down upon the righteous and the wicked. So if anybody's not receiving the rain, if anybody's not having access to the sunshine, it means they are actually rejecting it. Either they've run into something, either they've been covered up. For example, even if the rain is falling, if the sun is shining, if you want, I mean, people go to the beach and they go on holiday to soak in some sun, right? Yeah. But if you decide to go indoors and the sun doesn't fall on you, you're not going to blame the sun. It's because you decide to go indoors.
Yeah.
So this, Jesus is saying, God is so good, he's going to allow the rain and the sun to come upon the righteous and the wicked. So the reason,
run out of it.
But the reason why the wicked are not enjoying God's goodness is because they keep rejecting it. And this is how the Father's true nature is. He releases his goodness. God so loved the world. And I think Christians should come to terms with the fact that the Bible never said God so loved Christians. Listen to that. It is a God so loved the righteous man. That's why when you're talking to people When you are looking at your neighbor, you need to understand the Bible says God so loved the world because it said God gave his begotten son because he loved the world. For God so loved the world, then that's why he gave his begotten son. So God's giving, God's goodness is completely dependent on God, and he has nothing to do with mankind. Now listen, before you were born, before you showed up on the scene, God already gave us Jesus. It's got nothing to do with you. And we must relate with the Father that way. There's something I wanted to look at quickly about this, the way God gives. Now, if you are listening to us on this episode, the reason we are actually hammering on this act, on this revelation of the Father, is because if you don't understand this, and if you don't relate with the Father in this understanding, it will affect your ability to receive from the Lord. Because we now know that the reason why the elder son complained is because he had his wrong thinking. You see, wrong thinking can damage your ability and your capacity to receive everything that God gave you in Christ Jesus. It can destroy that capacity. So we need to set our thinking right. Our thinking must be set straight. And that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, that our lives can be completely transformed if we renew our minds. So this thing you're listening to today is about mind renewal. You need to renew your mind to align with the true nature of the Father. Now look at we're going to look at something that Jesus did say about the Jews, about Israel. And you see, I want us to look at Luke chapter 13 and 19. Look at Luke 19 from verse 41 to 44.
Luke 19.
Yeah, Luke 19 and Luke 13. But first, Luke 19, verse 41 to 44. There's something I want us to look at there, so that we can get our mind renewed in the Word. Look at Luke 19. Verse 41, and it says, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. That's Jesus. He wept over the city, that city of Jerusalem. Jesus said, if you had known, even you, at least in this your day, the things which belong to your peace, but now they are eating from you. For the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about you, and then and compass you around and keep you in every war on every side, and shall lay you even to the ground, and your children within you, and they shall not leave you in one stone upon another, because you know not the time of your visitation. Now, this particular event that Jesus mentioned actually did happen in history. If you're a student of history, in AD 70, Jerusalem was invaded, and it was brought down to rubbish. Now, where some Bible scholars, they think that this particular scripture we read is both for AD 70 and the future, but well, we're not looking at that, but we're looking at the fact that history records it that in 70 AD, Jerusalem was laid down to rubbish. Now, and Jesus did mention this in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 to 44. And you see, people begin to reason and say the reason why the Jews or the Israelites actually had this experience, because you know, the Jews did say to Pilate, they said, well, crucify him. And when Pilate said, I'm innocent of the blood of this man, they told Pilate, the Jews said, let the blood be upon our head and that of our children. And you see, people come to the conclusion that this one of the punishment, one of the reasons why Jerusalem was punished, because of the fact that the Jews were quite instrumental to Jesus being crucified. Now I wanted to hold on to that and then quickly run through Luke chapter 13. That's what we're going to look at. Now, we're going to connect these two verses. And the reason we're looking at this is so that you can understand the true nature of the Father as revealed through Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 13.
Do we have the time for it?
Yeah, we're going to round up now. Luke chapter 13. See what it says in the last few verses. The verse 34 to verse 35. Now, Luke 13.
34 to 35.
Yeah, Luke 13. I'll read now verse 34. Now, see what it says. Now, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, would kill the prophet and stone that are sent unto you. How often will I gather you, your children, together as a hen does gather a brood under her wings, and you would not. Can you see that? Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I have come, I've tried to gather you as a hen would gather a chicken, but he said, you would not. I have come to release life. I've come to release light. I've come to give it to you, but you would not accept it. Now, if you look at what it says, it's the next verse 35. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. So when Jerusalem was invaded, Jesus said, the reason you were invaded is because I brought life. I brought something. It was rejected. Now listen, The reason why the world is the way it is today, the reason why the ungodly person or the wicked person is on their way to destruction, has nothing to do with that God was paying them back for their evil lifestyle. No. People talk about the fact that there's going to be flood in a nation because the fact that they allow some kind of lifestyle or things like that. This is not the true gospel. Jesus said, I have not come to condemn the world. I have not come for anyone to be qualified before I can bless them. I bless them anyway before they can ever qualify. All he's asking for is that people accept and receive the offer that is brought to them. This is how the true nature of the Father must be understood. If you understand this, we will not be like the elder son who was misjudging the younger son, and we will be able to receive from God if we stand before God without understanding, without allowing the enemy to deceive us, to making ourselves to qualify for the Father's blessings.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm trying to catch my breath as I follow you, but what I find very, very, very sober and giving me the thoughts is about this elder son that was just working himself up for the Father's love.
To be worthy.
And then it rings through this verse of this song. Mm. This that says, not the labor of my hand can fulfill the Lord's demand. Could my zeal no respite none? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou most said, and thou alone. I wish the elder son knows that no labor, no zeal, even no matter without any respite, could just make it. No tears, even if it flow forever, if the Lord must save and him alone. So if we live our life like the elder son, trying to work ourselves up to earn what he has already given, you know, it's just like it's a futile exercise.
Trying to earn what he has given.
Yes, earning what, you know, you just live in resentment. You know, he was resenting his younger brother blessing.
He was resenting the Father's goodness.
Father's goodness, resenting in bitterness. He stayed outside and so for what in all his life, slaving for what is actually his. So I just want us to go back again today and ponder on this saying. And I would like to invite you, I don't know if you are in our neighborhood tomorrow, we are invited to Waterwest Manchester. And the following Sunday we are invited to Chapel House.
We'll be in Waterwest Christian Center Manchester at 11 a.m. tomorrow, ministering the word of life. And also on Sunday the 27th, which is next week Sunday, we'll be in Chapel House Christian Fellowship in Chorley, Lancashire, where we'll also be ministering the Word of Life.
So we hope to do live transmission. Right. We might do it. So if you can join us on live, and if you can come, if you're free to come, so we hope to see you. So on Sunday, tomorrow evening by 7 p.m., we will continue on
live again tomorrow 7 p.m.
on
Exposé, and we'll be going through the Prodigal Father series.
So till we see you tomorrow, same time, 7 p.m., keep sharing, keep pondering on these things. Okay, bye.
Bye. God bless you.